Hello, everyone. Welcome to the NFNLP podcast. Dr. Will Horton. Today, I get to interview my friend Paul, and he's going to talk to us today about some interesting stuff because he got to interview how many people in total?
We did 106.
106 yeah. Interviews that he did via Zoom, the same technology we're using here, that he interviewed all these people that were presenting at the National Guild of Hypnotists convention that was just a few weeks ago. So I thought it'd be interesting to ask him some questions about his experience interviewing 106 different personalities. And I know there were some personalities in that group and just what it was like. So what was your experience, Paul, interviewing that diverse of a group?
Oh, it was fun. It was such a fun project. And I think the first thing that was really fun about it was getting to know all of these colleagues that I hadn't spent time with before, and then even some that I had spent a little time with, but you know, not enough to really feel like I got to know them well. And so, one of the things I did, this will give you a good example, Will. One of the things I did, and you know this because I interviewed you, is I always asked every person, how did you get into hypnotism? And so I got to hear their sort of their origin story, you know? And so those by themselves were just fantastic to listen to. If I had only done that, that would have been a cool interview series. But to have even a particular moment where what I learned is there are these themes, right? Like most people who come to hypnotism, they come to hypnotism either through an accident or an illness, which profoundly affects them. And then somebody uses hypnosis to help them get through it. And that leaves such a profound effect on them that they then choose to pursue that as a new career path so that they can do it for others. That was one of the biggest themes. The other really big theme was people who met someone one way or the other in life who gave them the encouragement to do it. People who, for whatever reason, were looking to make a change in their life professionally and had someone pretty much every time it was some version of, I think you'd be great at this. And off they went and changed their lives and their careers. The one exception that was so cool out of all the people I interviewed and all the people I've ever talked to, years of going to convention, only one person that I can tell this story. Jacob Bimblich is the only hypnotist I've ever met who knew when he was a kid that he wanted to be a hypnotist. Everyone else like stumbles to it later in life somehow, you know? But Jacob told me the whole story of how growing up in Cuba as a boy, he saw a stage hypnotism show and decided at, I can't remember if it was like 9 years old, it was young. He's like, that's what I want to do when I get big. And he did. He's the only one I've ever met.
Oh, that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and the other kind of cool thing I think you got to do, because when you get those, it's over there, when you go to a conference, whether it's National Guild or HypnoThoughts or IAC, there's literally dozens, if not hundreds, of presentations to choose from.
Yeah.
And so you got like a quick overview of 106 different topics and things. And so, and what I was, the ones, and you'd send them out, what I was always impressed with was, even though I've been in this field since the early 80s, I forget how wide and diverse it is. Yeah. You know, it's a lot. Well, I'm also a psychologist. It's like, you know, people say a psychologist, well, what the hell? There's that many. I mean, there's from research to clinical to children to all these things. Same with us.
Yeah.
So what was your opinion on or feedback from all those cool topics you got from? I mean, the ones that jumped out with me was like working with people of color. One was on kids. And all that, which is like things like, interesting.
Yeah, that was another thing that was really fun was to, you know, you get so used to hearing about the same general applications and to be able to talk with some people who were really looking at, you know, like Hetty Keefe was talking about post-traumatic stress within the African-American community and how she specifically works with members of that community to help them on that issue. There were some really special applications there that I was like, man, I wouldn't have even thought of that. And that was, it's such a great reminder that I have a lot to learn still. That like I have so much that I can keep learning, which is what drew me to this field in the first place, really, was, you know, when I got into hypnotism, it was because I had a sort of light bulb moment where I realized I had wanted to be an entertainer since I was a kid, but I had chosen to pursue jobs that let me work with people. I was an English teacher and I was a student affairs professional at a university. And then I had this moment where I thought, oh, you dummy, you don't have to choose one or the other. You can do both. Hypnotism will let you do both. And so once I started doing that, and then I've just continued to find new ways. I'm like, well, I could do that and I could do that. It's just an endless list. And it's really cool to see people who have really have done it already and are continuing to do it. It's one of the coolest things about our profession. I really, probably the coolest thing, really.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and like you say, some of the topics were pretty cool. The one on PTSD in the African-American community, and I heard her talk, and I'm going, oh, never thought of that. Because it's not within my realm of experience.
Right,
you know?
Right.
I'll say middle-aged white guy. There's certain things, you know, I don't understand that if I'm in a car and a police light, you know, I see police lights, I go into trauma.
Yeah.
Where you and I might not, but, you know, one of my friends.
Yeah.
Goes, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You just replay the thing we talk about in hypnosis and NLP. That movie starts playing of getting shot, getting beat down, saying the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And all that. So, and that we can help in different ways.
Well, I'll tell you the other thing, when you talk about helping, the other thing that was really cool is, you know, so I had seen you present, you know, before. So I wasn't like, you know, I knew who you were and I knew you were a great presenter. But then just getting the chance to do the interviews with you again sort of reignited that understanding for myself of like, man, I should be spending more time with you and I should be learning from you. So I went to your session at the convention on a fast NLP technique to create fast change. And I did it like a week later. I had a client who wanted to stop dipping tobacco. And he was, he's 7 years in recovery from alcoholism. And I said, close your eyes, and we pull up the grid, and where's your urge to drink alcohol? Where's that? And he pointed. He goes, oh, it's way out there. It's way out there. He goes, I don't worry about that anymore. It's way out there. I go, okay. Think about when you really feel like you need to have a dip, like you really, really need it. Where is it? And he goes, oh, it's like right here. It's right here, right? And I go, okay. So take it and move it all the way out to where they are. And he did it. And I go, how's that feel? And he goes, I don't feel anything. And I go, yeah, isn't that neat? And he stopped dipping like that. Like he had been dipping the whole 7 years. Once he got off of alcohol, he went into chewing tobacco and he's dipped that whole 7 years and he's done. And I was like, that's the other thing that's great about getting to spend time with colleagues and learn from colleagues is that, you know, with one good teacher, you can learn something in 10 minutes that you can turn around and use that helps other people change their life. And that was really cool. So I want to thank you for that, because that was really great to be able to have that happen. And but I think, again, that all started really for me with doing the interviews. So,
well, and I wish more conferences would do that, because first of all, it gives you an idea of when you watch somebody go, okay, I want to take that, or that doesn't really fit with what I'm going to do. You know,
yeah.
And it's not that the teacher's right or wrong. It's just, you know, like kids.
Yeah.
Everybody's always asked me, oh, what do you do with kids? I said, avoid them. I raised mine, got her to join the Navy, right? Boom, get out of the house. But yeah, it's like, it's so cool. And it's like, we were at the one of those meetings and they talked about, like, you know, posting stuff on Facebook. And remember, we were in a CI meeting, and I thought, I'm going to do this. And my buddy, when I went up to give my talk, Chris Johnson, an NLP trainer, I said, record this. And he recorded it, and we uploaded it to Facebook.
Yeah.
At the time. Because the other thing, like what you just said, I think is important. is when you learn a new technique, you got to start doing it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, so I've been trying to post more and do this. I mean, it's one of these things. What do I always say? Knowing is not doing.
Right.
You know, a lot of us will go to seminar. Oh, that looks good. But then you never do it.
Yeah.
So whether it's this technique or that technique or something, it expands knowledge.
Yep.
You know, yep. And I just had a student write me something and I credited her because I model, I don't steal. But I she talked about a good coach doesn't cook you a fish dinner. He teaches you how to fish. And I love that analogy.
Yeah.
And it's like, because too many, I will make one critique of some in our profession. They encourage dependence.
Yep.
Right. It's like, come to me for all the answers. And rather than teaching you how to think, right? Because I know one of the things, I'm seeing a little change in our field, because when I went through my internship for psychology, one of the things that they would say is, we're teaching you how to think. Because, you know, after the end of this year, you're not going to have us on speed dial.
Right.
You know, and you're going to have to make decisions on the fly. And there's that. And I want your feedback on one other thing. It's kind of cool because you've been around this field for a while now too. Is people are always so scared to like work with people in different things. And I always get people coming up to me, well, as a veteran, and as I'd like to work with vets, but I really can't because I'm not a veteran. I said, what's that got to do with anything? You know, first of all, if it happens to be a veteran, they're just a person that happened to serve in the military. Don't make us out to be something we're not.
Yeah.
But, you know, about working with PTSD. And, you know, it's the whole idea that, like, I know one of the most successful weight loss hypnotists I know is still about 60 pounds overweight.
Yeah.
But he used to weigh 400 pounds.
Yeah.
Now he weighs like 260. He's still huge, but, you know, so if you wait to be perfect, you'll never do anything.
Right. So,
what's some of your feedback? Because you have to talk to all these different people.
That's another common theme from a lot of the people that I interviewed is this this sort of fear, I guess, fear that imposter syndrome that, you know, a lot of people who here they were presenting on a topic. They had gotten to the point where they knew enough about it to present on it at the convention. But as you talked to them about their process of how they got to that point, they often talk about having a point where they just feel like they're trying to do it, but they don't know if they really are doing it. And they're worried about being, you know, seen as an imposter. And it's like, well, like how else are you going to do it? Like you need to do it, even though, you know, like we have this real thing in our, I don't know, do you think that's an American thing? Or do you think that's all over the world that we have this thing about feeling like we've got to be at some kind of pinnacle of knowledge and successful ability before we can actually claim like a knowledge set or a title or a, you know?
Yeah, I think, the paradox of knowledge.
Yeah.
You think you got to be all the way here, but as soon as you get here, you realize, shit, there's this.
Right.
And then there's this. You know, after 30 something years, I'm like, I'm finally getting pretty good at NLP. And to me, I think that's a healthier attitude than I know everything. I can't, you know, it's like, I never thought of that. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my big question and last couple of conferences I've been to, I like the feedback when I go, okay, everybody look around the room. First of all, I did like what Mr. Brookhouse said at one meeting about, you want to see the future of hypnosis? Look around.
Yeah.
But I always say, if you're a hypnotist, my one question to you, or a helper, who's your hypnotist? You know, if you're a coach, who's your coach? You know, and I got that from my martial arts, because my teacher, sensei would say, if your teacher doesn't have a teacher, run away.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, I think, feeds the imposter syndrome, because it's like, oh, because I also, lately, I've been talking about that thing called the paradox of knowledge, where you learn, like you say, we come in the field because you stop smoking, you lost some weight with hypnosis, you overcome a trauma, great, then you become a hypnotist. Suddenly, you know a lot about it, but it doesn't seem to work as well on you. Because somebody tries to do a session on you, you start thinking, oh, I like that, I got to remember that. Ooh, I could use this.
Yeah.
And you have that false idea that you got to be perfect. So like, no, I got no issues to work on.
Right.
And, you know, so one of the things I'm always drawn to people at conferences and stuff are the people that admit they're whacked out. They got their work, you know, it's whack-a-mole syndrome. I get this under control, this comes up.
Yeah.
It's under control, this comes up, you know. So we're always working about something. Because I got some people, I'm always asking people to make me a hypnosis CD or to do something. And I don't want to know what you do.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give you any feedback. In fact, for this play, I'm going to be calling some people. I got to get a Boston accent. Right? A Harvard kind of Boston. And not park the car, that bullshit.
Yeah.
I'm playing a Boston banker from Old Money. So it's like, damn. So I got to get the right kind of accent. So I know I'm going to reach out to a couple people and go, make me a tape. Because first of all, the only thing I'll give you some feedback is I'm not fond of Boston in the first place.
Yeah, that's fair.
So it's like, but it's an acting gig, you know? So I'm going to reach out because I use this technology.
Yeah.
I don't just, you know. And I think this goes, not to hear me babble, but I'll shut up, with my friend, Dr. Butler. He's an internist. Now he's an anti-aging doc. But he always talks about, you guys fall into, now you're like doctors. You make horrible goddamn patients. You know? Because he goes, I know I'm a horrible patient. Because the minute they prescribe something, he goes, I'm looking at it. And going like, why?
Yeah.
And I, you know, rather than just let it work.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
Any closing thoughts with, so you had a wonderful experience with.
I had a wonderful experience, and it's the kind of thing that I would, if anybody that listens to this is trying to grow their skill set, grow their knowledge base in NLP, it would be the first thing that I would recommend that they do. Before, I'm like, of course you should read books. Of course you should take more trainings. I'm just assuming that that's always something you're thinking about doing. But if you're really looking for another way to deepen, is like, go start interviewing people. Like, just start building a library of content, start your own podcast, start your own vlog, do something where you are creating an opportunity to talk to people who love to do this thing that you want to learn more about and spend time with them. It is such a great way to get different perspectives about the work itself, to think about things differently. And it is such a great way to steepen your own learning curve about what, you know, how to really figure out, like, how to get to where you want to be next faster is involving these other people who have these great perspectives and experiences. It will forever be my go-to thing. Anytime that I want to grow and expand my knowledge from now on, I'll start doing interviews about it. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I've been meaning to do this for a couple of years, and you actually got me started on it again, you know, and I got some cool topics coming up. I'm going to do one on, in a clean way, so when you hear the title, don't freak out, erotic hypnosis.
Yep.
But for couples, and I got guys written a really good book. Of course, he doesn't want his picture up there. So I said, we could work around that, right?
Yep.
So I'm going to do that. I'm going to work with some sports people. I hope to interview several people that work with sports, like you did, post-traumatic stress. I'm going to just keep going around. In fact, I'm really excited. It looks like I'm going to get a couple of the big-name internet marketer types. Not necessarily hypnotists, but I'll talk about how can you use what we do and make it grow with the internet and stuff like that. So, you know. And like you say, I'm learning a lot from the few interviews I'm starting to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be great. It's just a great process to be part of. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'd like to thank you for sharing with me, and have a great day.